From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, which is becoming the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. It's based around this culture of love, helping one another, showing some love to your fellow Sacramento entrepreneur. And the community is building, and it's really one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And the conversation begins with, what are you working on? How can I help? And today on the show, we have a guy named Matthew Magno. He is the founder and CEO of JAPA, and it stands for Just a Parking App, I believe, which is kind of a cool name. Not kind of, a very cool name. It's easy to remember. But Matthew's somebody I've been tracking through the Sacramento entrepreneurial journey for the last several years, and his company is doing well. And so we're going to hear his story. So we're also going to hear the story about how he recently got engaged. So get ready, my friends. Meet Matthew Magno. How are you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Mark, and your team for having me. Super excited to be here and share our journey.
Okay. Well, tell me, give us an overview of JAPA. And what problem are you solving? Sounds like you're solving a parking problem.
Yes, at JAPA. So you're correct. JAPA is a cool acronym for Just a Parking App, but we're doing a lot more than that. So we're solving the problem of parking for two of our customers.
Okay.
One, the commuters like us. You know, yeah. It's very difficult to find parking sometimes, city streets, hospitals, universities. So we made a mobile app that gives you real-time availability to show you where the parking spots are.
So you don't have to drive around looking for a parking spot. Next thing you know, there is no parking spot, and you spent 10 minutes finding out there's no parking spot.
It's 30 minutes.
Or 30 minutes, yeah. And then you're parking down the street, parking a half mile away.
Or going home. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you're solving that problem for you and me and the average person who drives a car, and then you're also solving the problem for somebody else?
Yes. So we are a B2B SaaS company, which we work with, you know, top institutions like universities, hospitals, stadiums, major cities throughout the US. And we're solving their problems. I mean, one of their biggest problems is that they love the commuters. They love the drivers as much as we hate parking departments. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really there for the drivers. So they're there mostly for commuter experience. They want to give a better commuter experience at the hospital.
Right, because that's their, we're the customer.
Oh, yeah. It's the first thing you do when you get anywhere, pretty much, is you park. And if you have a bad experience parking, you're going to get deterred.
That's like your first impression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's affecting hospitals because their satisfaction scores are going down. They're getting fined. Cities, they're getting complaints left and right about people not finding parking. But sure enough, there's a parking lot around the corner that you just don't know about. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why our mobile app brings that real-time availability to give you. We optimize our clients' parking by showing everyone where they're parking, and they don't have to build more. Like, we've helped cities save upwards to like $60, $70 million from not having to build more parking because we're able to show.
Oh, everyone. You better utilization of with the existing parking.
Exactly.
So you really need less parking because we all overbuild on parking so that, you know, we don't run out.
Yeah. I mean, an interesting fact is that to build one parking space from scratch, like if you have an empty land and you want to build one parking space, it costs $40,000 to $50,000 just to build one space in California.
Wow.
It scales differently in different states. But then now if you're thinking about building real estate for a parking lot or building up for a garage, that's where millions and tens of millions, upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars are being put into that, where you don't really need to spend that. You know, some of the cities that we work with in universities, we notice that their occupancy is at like 70% on average. Mm. But why are they getting so many complaints if there's 30% of parking available?
Interesting.
Right? So now we can really come in there, give them that data, say, you can optimize your parking using our mobile app, fix your commuter experience, get all the data that you don't normally have ever, right? So you can really better manage your whole parking operation and just give everything back to them. Now there's more economic wealth coming, you know, to that city, to that university, because people are happy parking quicker. You know, with our data and our mobile app, people are parking 50% quicker.
Wow.
Meaning now, if you're at a stadium, what are you doing with that extra amount of time? You're buying concessions, you know, their concession sales are going to skyrocket. So there's a lot of different avenues that parking that you might not think about. It just really affects it.
All right, let's walk me through the commuter experience, I get on your app and do I sort by venue? Is that how it works? I don't need a separate one for Kaiser, a separate one for, I don't know, Levi Stadium. Mm-hmm. It's basically get on to Joppa and then search where I'm going. I'm going to Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah. I mean, it our app does that, but it also just shows you the list of what you're closest to. So you don't really have to search. So if you are at a university that we work with, it's already going to populate it for that one. Or you can scroll through and see what other installations we have.
Okay. So if I'm driving near I'm using Kaiser as an example. If I'm driving near a Kaiser, something's going to, I'm going to get a notification?
Well, you can pull up the app. We don't have the notification set for that yet, but you can pull up the app and it'll show you, oh, I'm next to the Roseville Kaiser or I'm next to UC Davis Health. So anytime
you're getting ready to park, you can see where there might be a Joppa parking spot.
Or even before you leave your house. Like, we want you to map out your whole experience. Like, mm-hmm. So if you're going to work at a hospital and you go, hey, I know when I get there, I'm just going to park in this lot because I know it's empty. I can see right now it's 90% empty. So let me just park there so I don't have to worry about walking back or looking, searching for parking. And a lot of our customers are starting to put bus and transit routes from those further empty parking lots to get people to the center of their campus quicker.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty amazing what you can do with just parking.
That's really cool. Okay, and then from the institution's perspective, they get data. What kind of data do they get and how does that inform them to make certain decisions? What kind of decisions do they end up making because of this enhanced data?
Yeah. So some of the data that we're tracking is, I mean, obviously we're tracking when a vehicle gets there and for how long, where it's at when they leave. But now we're actually aggregating the space type. So if you're parking in your VIP space at Levi Stadium, we know, how many VIP people park there.
Okay.
And same thing with universities, how many people park in the ADA spaces or time zones or student or faculty spaces. So now they're getting that data and saying, oh, we're noticing that this parking lot, we're not getting a lot of students parking here. We're getting more faculty. Let's open up more faculty spaces to appease the commuters, or let's take away some. We've had clients use our data to say, hey, this lot is underutilized, or this section of the lot is underutilized. Let's go ahead and put a bike or scooter program there because they're utilizing this data.
Wow.
And then like that one I told you to before, we're looking at occupancy, utilization rates. So if they're noticing that it's 70%, 50%, even 80%, and people are complaining, then they're starting to notice, what problems are we having? Like, it's just visibility problem.
And do they promote Joppa to their clients? Because it's one of those marketplaces where both people need to have it. So you need to have a hospital or an institution that is utilizing the technology, but then the patient, if you will, and for the hospital, how do they know that they need Joppa?
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say it's like 50-50 on that end. Some of our clients are using it with the mobile app and they're launching it. Like some hospitals, they have it part of their new hire orientation. So whenever there's a new hire, they make them download the app. For cities, they have signage in the streets saying with a QR code, download our smart parking.
And it's free. Joppa's free. So I could download it right now and just start using it. And basically, it's only going to show up for one of your Joppa clients, but it can be used anywhere.
Everybody download it. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the App Store and then the Google Play Store. It's free for everyone to use. We integrated payments with it. So if you are at a place that has Park Mobile, for example, you can pay through an app. So there's not multiple apps to use, pretty much.
That's great. So you can pay for your parking through the app. Because that's kind of a hassle sometimes to fumble through and get your credit card out and, get the thing to go up.
Pull up multiple apps. Yeah. I mean, this industry, the parking industry, as small as it sounds, it's ginormous. It's huge. And it's very fragmented, though. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of these integrations into other companies is the way to go for at least our clients. Not one solution fits all for every different university or hospital. But if we can merge a couple that works best for that client, then that's the way to go.
Interesting. Now, there's obviously there's software, there's an app, but you generate this data, but there's a physical sensor at the parking location.
Yes.
Tell me what that looks like and maybe the what you have to do as a business to make sure that those are, I guess, installed and maintained.
Yeah. So we do have physical hardware. If you can imagine a hockey puck, that's what we call them in the industry. So those are our sensors. They look like little hockey pucks. We put them at the in the middle of parking spaces, right at the bottom. They're very, very discreet. I want to say it's like the size of a penny.
Okay,
is how tall it is, and they're all battery operated.
Oh, they've got the thickness of a penny.
The thickness.
Okay,
of a penny.
So they're very thin.
Very thin.
And but they're the dimension other than the thickness. They're about the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah,
so they're like 2 inches or something.
About diameter, yeah. So very, very discreet. When we put them on the floor, you barely notice it. You know, and when we have clients come and say, hey, can we do a tour of one of your campuses? Oh, yeah, of course, but you're not going to see really anything because they're black pucks on a black concrete or a black asphalt floor. Mm-hmm. But they're all battery operated. They have like a 10-year battery life on them. So now when it comes to installation, our clients love it. There's no conduits, no electrical pole or anything, no downtime. Literally, we're just sticking a sensor on every space and then scanning a QR code, and it takes less than 2 minutes to install.
Oh, wow. So they glue down, they adhere to the asphalt by some kind of glue or something?
Just think of like the road markers in the street.
Okay.
The same way with either like hot bitumen or like or adhesive or epoxy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's quick. And then,
and do your clients install them, or do you have to have a service team that goes out and does that?
We give them the option. So we give them the option and say, hey, it's easy enough where your team can do it. You can save money on installation, or we can have our team do it, or we have contractors throughout the U.S. that will just go ahead and do it anywhere. So we want to compartmentalize the projects. I mean, it would be great for all of our clients to do it. I mean, they all have their teams. They can do it. I mean, it's the easiest installation.
Yeah, these bigger organizations or parking structures, most of them have maintenance people.
Exactly. Yeah. But at Joppa, we're all about giving that 10-star service. You know, I listen to a bunch of podcasts, and of course yours too, but I listened to one about Airbnb and how they gave their service, and they went, okay, what's a 5-star service for us? They said, okay, the, you know, you show up to your Airbnb and there's a card saying welcome to the Airbnb. Then they said, what's a 6-star service? Well, when you get to the Airbnb, the shower is already hot for you, the air conditioning's perfect. Well, what's a 10-star service? You're getting escorted from the airport on an elephant or you know, in a parade or something like that. And you get to there and you're flown in a private jet. So if you can try to reach that 10-star service and you fall short, maybe you're at that 7-star service. So at Joppa, we want to give our customers that 10-star service, nice. Whether it's, hey, we're going live and we're giving you all the treats and we're hanging out as much as we can, or, you know, even little gift baskets just for saying thank you. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to installation, yeah, we want to take care of it mostly for them, but they always like saving money.
So building the business, I've been tracking you. I've seen you win pitch competitions, right? And anybody who is running around in the Sacramento ecosystem or any entrepreneurial ecosystem, there's little Shark Tank pitch events, and you're a very good presenter. I know you have won a few of those, and it took a while for the Growth Factory to connect up with you and finally make an investment. So we're a small investor into your company. But maybe walk us through that process of building the business while simultaneously getting it funded by venture capital and investors.
Yeah. So the Joppa story goes back to when I was a student in college. I mean, it was literally a classroom project for an engineering class, and they asked us to think of a problem to solve. So me and my co-founder, we said parking. You know, we were late for class all the time. So we were literally building a business as we were studying for our finals. We were, you know, doing
what
our
school?
Homework. UC Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go Aggies. UC Davis alum. We both study computer science there. And so, you know, as much as people say, man, it's so hard to build a business as a student, I think it was a little bit easier just because I had less priorities. I didn't have a family to feed, or, you know, I didn't have a mortgage to pay for. I literally just had to think about how fast can I finish my homework and how much time can I work on my business, pretty much. And then so throughout college, you know, I got my degree in computer science. I thought I was going to be working at Google, like, and I didn't know how much I was going to be putting into Joppa. Until one of my professors, Liz Tang at UC Davis, I told her, I was like, hey, I got an interview for Google and Facebook. And she was like, what are you doing? She's like, why? And I was like, I thought you'd be happy. This is huge for me. And she was like, you need to be working on your startup 110%. If you work on it 50%, it's going to come out 50% good. If you work on 110%, it's going to come out that good. And I was like, I need to eat. You know, like, how am I supposed to, like, we don't have any clients or anything. She's like, we'll find a way. And then that was my turning point where I was like, man, you know, I'm going to stop all my search for jobs and I'm going to go all into Joppa.
Wow.
And then.
How long ago was that?
That was, I want to say, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, coming out of UC Davis, we won the Big Bang competition out there.
Okay.
And that was like the turning point. Like, okay, we got some money. Let's go get a startup house. You know, we got an investor, like a small 50K. So that put towards our runway and like, okay, that's going to pay for our startup house. Let's just keep working. We had like monitors everywhere. It was literally like the show Silicon Valley mm-hmm. in Woodland though.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was cool. We got our first customer. UC Berkeley was our first customer. That's when you started tracking us and mm-hmm. like, oh, these guys have something here. And then I was like, Mark, wait till, let me show you. Like, because I told everyone I'm going to work with universities. I'm going to put a sensor on every spot. And the amount of people that told me, you're crazy. There's no way you're going to work with, you know how hard it is to work with universities and they're not going to pay for a sensor on every spot. Today, we're missing one more UC out of the UC system in California.
Oh, wow. You've got the UCs pretty well locked up.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. We have one more, UC Merced. So if you hear this, you know.
Come on, UC Merced. Don't be one of those type people.
But I mean, you know, it's just, I like to prove people wrong. I love when people say, no, you can't do that. Well, let me show you. Like what I tell my company all the time. Amazing and impossible things can't be achieved if you don't attempt to do it. So let's attempt to do the impossible. Let's attempt to do the amazing because we're gonna do it. And sure enough, we show those people wrong. People are buying it, you know, and putting on every space, doing their whole campus. Large institutions like UCLA, Berkeley. Now we're across the United States with Florida, North Carolina, Kansas, like working with major stadiums and hospitals throughout the U.S. So it's just... You know, I wrote a post on LinkedIn the other day just how grateful I am to have gone through this experience. You know, I just went to Texas just last week to close two new clients, two new universities out there.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of my first flights as a student was to Texas to a parking conference. And it was just like, so, yeah, it was just like so nice and heartwarming to be like, wow, look at this journey that we've been on from a classroom project, being able to pay full salaries for our employees, mm-hmm. build a team that's amazing, you know, that just believes in it just as much as I do. You know, and that's what's really keeping us going and really
that's
just
great.
Drop it like it's hot. I guess that's the last time I'll say.
I love it. So maybe just tell me, like, what were the biggest challenges and maybe lessons learned for maybe somebody who's thinking about building a startup that might have, you know, kind of some of the same characteristics as you guys?
Don't compete in parking because that's our territory. I would say one of our biggest challenges, and I don't think, I mean, I hope it doesn't happen again, is, I mean, we try to launch during COVID.
Mm.
You know, that's when we graduated, like everything was happening and our customers were universities and cities.
Oh, yeah.
They all shut down.
Yeah, and people weren't going around and trying to find places to park as much during, because events weren't happening, things like that.
Universities were closing down, and it's just, so that's when we're like, oh my gosh. And every answer I would get from our clients is like, hey, we don't know what's happening in the next year, 2 years, 3 years.
Wow.
And so I'm like, well, I don't either.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why it's important for companies to really understand their industry, understand their customers, and understand when to pivot and when not to pivot. You know, during COVID, since we couldn't get customers, we had to pivot. And sure enough, we partnered with Dutch Brothers, made smart drive-throughs with our sensors. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And that got us through COVID and got a nice partnership with them. Free coffee.
Are you in, how many Dutch Brothers are you in?
We were in one so far. And then we kind of stopped business with them just because it was a big philosophy for me to not bite off more than we can chew.
Mm-hmm.
There, we were focused. Our goal is to solve parking, not to solve drive-throughs. It's
okay.
A great business on the side, but there's so much parking out there that we need to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to build another company, Mark, let me know. And I have the clients for you on a smart drive-thru.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I was just hanging out with the guy that owns a bunch of Dutch Brothers a couple of days ago. So it made me perk up when I heard that. Okay. So biggest challenge was starting during COVID. What learnings What about the idea of getting things to cash flow and or the idea of like raising money while you're trying to build the business? What any learnings in that realm?
Yeah. Man, there's just so many things that you need to know that you don't know building a company, especially when you're younger and haven't done it before. And, you know, when it came down to fundraising, I think that was a big challenge for me just because, one, I'm a new founder, you know, coming straight out of college, no credibility. How do you prove that to people? How do you prove that to investors to believe in you and believe in the company and the idea? So I really worked hard at that. You know, I got onto the Mayor's Technology Council. I was able to go onto the boards of other companies. I started an accelerator to Plasma at UC Davis to really build my credibility up so that people will be like, hey, you know what? Matt Magno here. He's a good guy. I can trust in anything he does. And so that was a challenge with fundraising. But the Sacramento region and the population out here in the community, is just, I mean, it wasn't as bad as I'm saying it right now. You know, like having you and everyone in the Backyard Advantage, it's just like outside of even fundraising, just the resources that you give to startups and the opportunities to network and everything. That's more to me than, you know, a couple hundred thousand, you know, millions here for fundraising, just because that unlocks so much more wealth and revenue and anything, you know, you can't really put a dollar sign on.
That's cool. Thank you for saying that. And you're the one thing that struck me about you too, is your attitude toward the other people that were in the entrepreneurial journey as well. You always showed a lot of respect for the rest of us that are out trying to build something and change the world in our own way. So you've always been one of those people that I think made other people feel comfortable being around you. And so that's really cool. That's part of the backyard, I think, is like when you're one of those kind of people that make the backyard stronger, it's certainly the type of person and team that we want to invest in the growth factory, but it's just the kind of thing that makes the region stronger. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. Thank the region. I mean, we're all part of this together, honestly. Yeah.
Well, what's the vision for the future? What are you looking to do? How would you describe the size of your company now and where is it going?
Yeah, size of the company, I mean, we're lean and mean. All right, or, you know, it's a 7-person company on track to get $1.5 million in annual recurring revenue this year. So, I mean, with a sales team of 2 people, they're on fire right now, honestly. So, especially with AI coming out, and we've revamped the whole company utilizing AI in every department, whether it's marketing, development, sales, anything. So, we're here to really just take over this parking industry, I would say.
You said it's fragmented. Is there like one Goliath that owns the parking tech space, or is it are there just a bunch of $2 million companies out there?
No, I mean, there's some unicorn parking companies like Metropolis. They just became a unicorn last year.
It sounds like kind of a startup type company.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot of money being put into the parking industry right now just because they know that you know, these assets, there's a lot of money and there's a lot of money or people paying money to put these products out there. So I would say there are some Goliaths, but they're not doing exactly what we do. You know, there's some Goliaths that are just doing payments, and there's some Goliaths that are just doing permits or ticketing or something like that. And see, where we come in, we're that niche product that goes, hey, we can work with all these other companies and we're just an addition on top of that.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's probably partnerships that could be put together that could be very advantageous for both sides.
Oh, I mean, just last year we brought on 5 new resellers. We partnered with other companies to resell Joppa just so we can get our footprint out more with still having a small team and very just cool. Being smarter with what we can do. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I guess one of the last couple more questions, you know, we talk about the Backyard Advantage and this culture of love. But before the show, you told me you recently got engaged. So I'm kind of curious, like I started to go down the path of like, what happened when you got, so I'll do it now with our audience. You recently got engaged and you made it sort of a production of sorts. Is that's like a lot of time? I didn't even get down on a knee when I got married. You know, I was like, no production. Yeah. I was like, what do you think about getting married? Okay, yeah. So the next thing you know, we're engaged. Okay, so that's take the worst case scenario for me as far as being romantic. What did you do?
It's similar. I mean, I mean, even on my Instagram page, I think it says never settle for anything less than the best. Mm-hmm. And so when it came down to an engagement, I'm very creative, a little bit of romantic and stuff. But so at first I was making a video game where I'm the boss at the end. If my fiance beats it, the boss will get on his knees and pull out a ring in the video game.
Oh my God.
And then she'll turn around. I'll have the ring out. She's not a gamer, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's a reader. She reads like 100 books a year, and she's awesome. She got me into reading so much. So I was like, okay, what can I do that's special for her? She loves London. It's her favorite city. She loves reading, and she loves her friends and family. So over like the past year, I made a hardcover book. Every chapter is a memory of when we first met. But I left like 400 pages blank so we can, one, add more every year. But then I cut out a hole at the back of the book and put the ring in there. And so I found one of the oldest bookstores in London called Hatchard's, and I put the book hidden in one of the shelves. And then I had her friends and family surprise her in London.
You took a trip out to London with her.
Yeah.
And her friends were out there?
Her friends and family, I coordinated and they surprised her. So they
knew what you were going to do. And so they took a trip. I mean, that's not like that's not an easy travel destination. Oh, so they all did like a little trip out there so they could witness what you were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So not your family, but it was mainly her friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you coordinate with them. They obviously had the means to get out there. And okay. And so. In the bookstore, you walk into the bookstore, what happens?
Friends and family are hidden at the, like, okay. I think it's like a 7-story bookstore. They're hidden at the top. They're texting me on the side, like, we're here. I was like, okay, we're here now. I'm going to let her walk around. I'm going to go up, practice with some of my friends there. And I was like, hey, let me get on a knee to you and see if the pictures are going to come out right. And then so I go get her. The book's on the shelf. I told all the friends, keep an eye on that book. Make sure no one touches that book. Yeah. The ring is in there. And so I told my fiance, because we have a husky, a dog. So I was like, hey, there's a crazy book about a husky up there. I want to show you. And she's like, okay. So she starts walking to the stairs. And one of the bookshelves was on the stairs, like on the middle of the stairs. So that's where I hid the book. And then sure enough, there was another book about a husky right at the front of the stairs. She's like, is it this one? I was like, oh no, how odd is that? And so I was like, no, it's up here. And so she comes upstairs and then I open the book and say, and she starts to see like our names in there. She's like, oh, what? And I was like, hey, I made this book for us, you know, so we can start, you know, every chapter is, you know, a moment of our lives and we can add more chapters in it. And I used that book and I opened up and then I pulled the ring out and proposed.
Oh my God. What was her reaction?
She kind of hit me and said, shut up or something like that. Is this really happening right now? But she said yes.
Did you get on a knee?
I got on a knee. I couldn't figure out the left or right, so I got on both. No, I'm just kidding. I got on the right knee.
Yeah. And her family comes out and your friends come out of hiding start snapping pictures and stuff.
Snapping pictures. She's just like starting to see everyone come up from the top.
Her
sister pops up. She's like, oh my gosh, I got to add you to the reservation. I was like, no, that's our friend. I was like, we made up a name for a friend. We're like, Wilhelm. Oh, like we have a friend named Wilhelm. Put him towards the reservation, but it's for her sister and her other friends and stuff. Yeah. So pretty elaborate, but, you know, it worked out well. And
do you have a wedding date?
Not yet. Yeah. This year's all booked up for us for travel and everything and work. So it's going to be next year.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to come, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Crash it. Yeah. Party crasher.
We need a ring bearer.
That's exciting. That's super exciting. Well, congratulations. I think that might be more exciting than Joppa.
Parking. Yeah.
But no, congratulations. What's her name?
Her name's Michelle.
Michelle, congratulations. I think you married, you're marrying a very creative, driven, entrepreneurial guy. I hope you turn him into a reader and, But anyway, I think the future sounds like it's bright, and so congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
What did I not ask you about the business, about, you know, what's going on with you? I want to make sure we get a, give you a chance to share whatever you want to share about JAPA, or, you know, the relationships that have kind of got you to where you are today.
Yeah, nothing comes to the top of my mind.
Your co-founder, I've met him a few times too, and he's a little tech stud, huh?
Oh, they call him a rocket man in the parking industry because he's a genius when it comes to like tech and space and everything. So he's doing good. He's about to propose too. He's been talking about that. So we're all grown up now. You know, we're out of that student phase, but running a real company. No, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what the future has for us. And I know we had a lot of big partnerships happen last year, which is coming to fruition this year, which is going to open up a ton of sales and revenue, which is going to put us on the map. I think right now we're one of the leaders in smart parking management, but this year we're going to be the leader.
Nice.
Yeah, I told my sales guys, you know, take out our competitors. If you steal business from them, I'm going to give you a bonus. And so they've been doing it. And yeah, everything we did last year. So we closed a round of funding last year, and everything worked out perfect on it.
That's great. And so you have to get to a certain size and then another round of funding comes. Is that kind of the plan?
Yeah. So we're on track to triple our revenue from last year. So, it's a good push right now. And so once we do that, we'll raise in our next Series A round, grow the team, really put towards sales, put towards development. We have a lot going on with big logos. Like, I don't know if I can. I mean, we're working with like DMV and other hospitals. Nice. So we have a lot of stuff in the works. It's just, you know, heads down right now. Make sure that we can innovate and just, you know, solve problems.
All right, Michelle, we just keep him happy. We need him selling a bunch of parking stuff so that we can build JAPA into something that makes everybody a lot of money and creates wealth for you. And hopefully you have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for, again, for being a part of this, my journey too, as I'm doing my podcasting and building the Backyard Advantage, helping build it, and then with Growth Factory. So appreciate you giving us an opportunity to be a partner. And so we wish you the best, and we'll do anything we can to help you.
Mark, you know, we appreciate you and your team and everything you've done for us and the community, and anything we can help out with or anything, just let us know, because that's where our real passion is just giving back as much as we can.
That's great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the Backyard Advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.